Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
So you call your virtual insurance company to ask a simple question about your policy, but now you're on hold, listening to this music, while you wait and wait and wait. Auto Owners works with local, independent agents who tailor coverage to meet your needs and pick up the phone when you call, because you shouldn't be on hold so long that you memorize the music. That's simple human sense. Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners makes sense for you.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Braves win, Braves win, Braves win as Raisel Iglesias slams the doors shut in the bottom of the ninth inning. And the Atlanta Braves take game one of this big series against the Tampa Bay Rays with a 2-1 victory in an unusual win for the Atlanta Braves. And we'll go over that in just a moment. John Fricke in for John Chuckery. We are late on a Friday night taking your calls. We're belling up to the bar. We're talking Falcons. We're not going to get the Braves into all of this after they just took game one against Tampa. John Chuckery will be back on Monday. We are leading you to a weekend that includes as well the debut of the Hawks in the Summer League and also the Atlanta United game against Montreal. They're going to be in Quebec tomorrow. Game time is 7:30. Our coverage starts at 7 with Mike Connie and Jason Longshore from Montreal, Quebec, Canada. There is also an Atlanta United watch party coming up that your buddy here, John Chuckery, is going to be hosting. It'll be Atlanta United against New England. It's this coming Wednesday at 7 p.m. at Hampton and Hudson on Highland Avenue. There are going to be specials on Bud Light. You can register to win a signed Atlanta United jersey or maybe tickets to a future match. It is sponsored by Bud Light. Must be 21 or over, and please drink responsibly. So John Chuckery is going to be at Hampton and Hudson on Highland Avenue for Atlanta United and New England this coming Wednesday at 7 o'clock for his show. And, of course, we'll have Atlanta United and New England live on Sports Radio 92 on the game as we bring you all of the five stripes. Now, back to the Braves. The Braves win a game tonight where they get only two hits. Stop and consider that for a second. I think they struck out, I'm going to have to get the box score. I want to say they struck out 13 times or 14 times even in this game. They just did not. They were just terrible tonight when it came to hitting the baseball. The Tampa pitcher, Tyler Glasnow, who's not exactly Nolan Ryan, was mowing him down at the beginning of the game. And I thought, oh, that'll kind of lighten. No, I never did. 13 strikeouts for the Braves in the game. Two hits in the game. And Sean Murphy had one of the two hits, and it was a two-run home run. And that was pretty much that. The Braves got two hit and still won the game. The hottest hitting, meanest swinging team in all of baseball goes down to a critical game on the road against the team that was ranked number one by most of the pundits all year long, gets a high-level performance out of Tyler Glasnow. I mean, maybe one of his best ever. And the Rays still win the game. They still win. It's like, what do we have to do to beat these guys? They only got two hits. We struck them out 13 times. They still won the game. Yeah. Oh, God. So they'll beat you 16-4 and they beat you 2-1? Yeah. Okay. Again, more fun with this team. With this win, by the way, the Rays have lost six in a row. And with this win, the Atlanta Braves move to four games ahead of Tampa with two games to go, which ensures that the Braves will have the best record in all of baseball when they go to Seattle for the All-Star break. And let's hope that that lead over Tampa isn't four, instead it's six. Let's hope that it's six, the Braves can take another bite out of this from the Tampa Bay Rays here and sweep them as well and win another series. They've won 10 straight series, and they'll be back at the mound tomorrow evening and then Sunday afternoon. And then, of course, they're all headed off for Seattle in the All-Star game. So the Braves will go into the break with the best record in all of baseball. And that was locked tonight with a 2-1 win over the Tampa Bay Rays. So we could talk about the Braves, because one of the questions I have for you tonight at 404-726-0929 is, what is the most fun you've ever had watching an Atlanta pro sports team? Was it, for me, this Braves team might be it. And now, granted, of course, I want to see them win a World Series, and there have been a lot of great Braves teams that I had a ton of fun watching when they first got good in the early 90s. I can even go back to the early 80s when, after the, kind of the dark ages of the late 70s, they got Bob Horner and Dale Murphy and Chris Chambliss was on that team, and suddenly they got pretty good for a while. They won a division and they went to the playoffs, and Joe Torre was the manager, and it was a lot of fun watching that ball club. Bruce Benedict and Jerry Royster in that club. Now you flash forward, and of course, into the 80s, and then into the 90s, and that was the beginning of Glavine, Smoltz, and then eventually Maddux would join the rotation. And all the great players there, too. And the World Series win against the Indians in the mid-90s. Then, of course, the World Series win a couple of years ago. But for me, for all this time, and, all the great teams that I've seen and the great moments I've seen with the Atlanta Braves, I'm not sure I've had more fun than watching this bunch just crush the baseball everywhere, at least in the first half of the season. And I'm wondering, was it the Falcons Super Bowl run? Was it the Hawks 60-win season? Was it Trey a couple of years back when he led them to the Eastern Conference Finals? Was it, as Day-Day said, the Dominique era, the height of the Dominique era, 84, 85, 86, Dominique and Doc and that bunch, Kevin Willis and all those guys that were, they would get right there, and then they would run into Boston. It was like Bird and Parrish and McHale and Johnson and Ainge and all those guys, and they would just slam the door shut. Or maybe it was Atlanta United when they won the Cup. So what was the most fun you've ever had watching an Atlanta pro sports team in your fandom here as an Atlanta fan? That's one question I'm kind of interested if anybody wants to jump in on that at 404-726-0929. The bigger question I've had for you tonight is about the Atlanta Falcons and what the number one thing is that will lead them to a title in the NFC South this year. I'm curious from all of you what you think. Is it going to be the easy schedule, the easy division? We had that as a caller earlier that, hey, listen, this is manageable. The division isn't hard. If you can handle your business in the division, you're going to be able to win it. One other caller said, hey, listen, this running game has got to be on point. It could be even better now, arguably the best run-blocking offensive line in the league. You saw what they did with Tyler Allgeier. Now give him Bijan Robinson on top of that. Is it an improved defense, which is what I think it is, given the fact that now all of these guys like the Ebikadis of the world are backups, Ebikadi and Ogadeji and Michael Walker and all of these guys. You go down the list, Eddie Goldman, Darren Hall. I mean, a lot of these guys, Dee Alford, they're all backups now because the front line has been stacked with all this new infusion of veteran and qualified talent that's in front of them. The Bates, the Okuda, the Calais Campbell, Ellis, Onyemata, Bud Dupree, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm curious, is it that, or could it be, as one caller said, just look, it's Arthur Smith. It's the coaching. It's the system that he put in. It's the culture around this team that surrounds this team. He was able to keep this team engaged and keep this team pushing, and they played quality games, games that meant a potential playoff spot into January and into December, into Christmas, with a team that wasn't very good. And he was able to get that out of them, never lost the team. They kept pushing for stuff. Now you're giving him a whole bunch of pieces he didn't have before. They're improved at so many positions. They're improved at wide receiver, at running back. They're improved at quarterback. They're improved at tight end. They're improved on the defensive line, on the defensive edge. They're improved at linebacker. They're improved at quarter at cornerback. They're improved at safety. They are improved at every level of the game. Improved at every level of the game. So now you've given him weapons to work with. And his system, his coaching, his culture, with that kind of weaponry, okay, that can win them the division. 404-726-0929. As you call in and we talk about this, I always want to remind you how I do shows. So when you call in, please understand that I'm standing at a bar and you're belling up to the bar next to me and you just start kind of launching in here. We're going to have a conversation. I don't want you to come in and say to the bartender, hey, I'll have a beer, grab a beer, say, hey, John, what do you think of the Braves? I'm out. No, I don't want you to do that. Hey, John, what do you think of the Falcons? I'm out. I want you to stay. I want you to talk to me. So as you come on here, I'm going to ask you to answer that question. Then if you want to ask me a question, you don't have to, but if you want to ask me a question, that's fine. I may ask you a question. I want to have a conversation with you. You're not going to have 15 seconds on the air. If you're calling into this program, I want you to brace for having a couple of minutes because I want to get into a discussion with you because whatever you say, I want to pick your brain about why, okay? Because I'm curious what you have to say. I know a lot of times people are curious about what the host has to say, and that's fine. It's fair. I mean, I have been doing this for 44 years. I mean, I've seen a little bit of thing here and there. I know a little bit, thing or two, as they say in the commercial. But that doesn't, it just means that I've seen stuff. It doesn't mean I know more than you do. It just means I've seen stuff. And so what I see and what you see may or may not be different. And if we disagree, that's fine, by the way. I don't have any problem with disagreeing. It's perfectly fine. Just don't be disagreeable. I won't be disagreeable to you. I'll never shout you down unless you call me a name. even if it's probably true, still don't do it, okay? Please. 404-726-0929 with John Fricke on a Friday night. Let's go to Anna, who joins us. Hello, Anna.
Hey, John. How you doing?
Good.
All right. First of all, I know you're the ultimate Falcons fanboy, so I'm just going to say it like this. The Falcons will win the NFC. They will. If they can get their stuff together and develop each unit, the offense and the defense, as a cohesive unit, not just have one person be developed into like the star and then everybody else playing catch up. You have to have everybody on the same level. And I get so tired of hearing Falcons fans say they ain't got no talent. I'm a diehard New England Patriots fan. I remember when the Patriots were awful. The Patriots were where the Falcons are right now. They were. But Robert Kraft had to come to Jesus minute because the Patriots fans stopped buying all his gear. And it was because they were 8-8 and 9-6 and all that. And so he went and got Bill Belichick, gave Bill Belichick control of everything. And Bill Belichick developed his players. That's how he got Brady. That's how he got Gronk. That's how he got Amendola. And if we do the same thing, if we just take a page out of their playbook, we'll be good.
All right, so, and you know, it's interesting because, you know, you mentioned these names and it brings back, you know, really bad memories for us.
But you know what? Let me tell you something. It shouldn't bring up bad memories. It should bring up learning experiences. Because you guys, and I say this as somebody who's watched the Falcons for 30 years. So this isn't a current coach. This isn't an Art Smith problem. This isn't an Art Blank. This goes back way before, okay? Because I've been down here since 1991. And I remember that Super Bowl. And I was cheering for the Falcons because everybody wanted the Falcons to win. And we were up, you guys were up 28-3 on us. You guys had Brady. You had.
I know. You don't have to remind me. Don't remind me.
No, I'm just saying. But instead of keeping the pressure up, what did y'all do? They took the second half off because they looked gassed.
No, I don't think that's. No, that's not what happened. Okay, they got away from what was. This is why we're all still so mad at Kyle Shanahan. They got away from doing what they were really doing well. And then it turns out that, of course,
Devontae Freeman,
who he later found out was a Saints fan and not a Falcons fan, blew a block that would have sealed it. But anyway, here's what I'll tell you, because I think you do bring up something. If we use your team as a model, for example, of the Atlanta Falcons,
well,
the Patriots have some.
Anna, let me get in here
because I'm curious about what you have to say about this. The Patriots were awful forever and a day. And then they got a quarterback named Drew Bledsoe. Oh, hang on, Anna. Let me finish. They got a quarterback named Drew Bledsoe, and they got okay. And so Bledsoe gets injured, and they turn to a backup that they had drafted in the sixth round. And Tom Brady when he was at Michigan, Anna, he had had a okay career. He wasn't a bad quarterback at Michigan. He had gone down to a bowl game against Alabama and looked pretty good, but nobody really thought he was going to be much of an NFL quarterback, or otherwise he wouldn't have lasted. Obviously, nobody had any idea he was going to turn into Tom Brady. He wouldn't have been in the sixth round. They put him in, and they left him in, and a lot of us at the time were saying, why aren't you putting Bledsoe's healthy, put him back in, because Drew Bledsoe was an all-star at the time. He was an all-pro player. And we were like, why are you letting this Brady guy play? Well, what Kraft saw was a coach and a quarterback. Now, do we have a coach? Yes. Do we have a quarterback? I don't know. You know, did we get really lucky with Desmond Ridder in the third round like you guys did with Brady in the sixth round? I'm not trying to compare him to Brady. Did we get that lucky? I don't know, Anna. I hope so, but I don't
know. If you look at Brady, Brady was always breaking down film. He was always studying. He would be at the Patriots facility would open up at 7 a.m. He was there at 6:45, and he wouldn't leave. I mean, there's reports from New England of him not even leaving Gillette Stadium after a 1 o'clock game until 10 o'clock at night because he was with Belichick looking over the film. So I think it goes to, that's why I say it goes to player development and wanting to learn the game and having a work ethic. And Brady and Belichick clicked because they had the same work ethic. Ridder, I see the same kind of work ethic out of him. I really do. But the thing is, and I've watched the Falcons for 30 years. They play great for 10 minutes. Then they play like garbage for another 10 minutes. Then they play great again. Or the other thing they'll do, like they did in the Super Bowl, they'll play great for a half, and then it's like they take the second half off because they're not playing the same way that they played, and they're looking around
That's why, and I appreciate the call, and I got a bunch of people I want to get in here, and I appreciate the call. From a Patriots fan, no less, that's why one of the things I said is if you're talking about the Falcons and you're leading towards the idea of, why are they going to win the NFC South this year, one of the things I put down here is coaching, system, and culture. The culture and the coaching and the system has now changed. And this coach and this system and this culture is vastly different than Coach Pro, than Dan Quinn. Look, Dan Quinn took us to a Super Bowl. I happen to personally like the man very much. He is a very nice guy. And he had something there that worked for 3 years, and then the message got lost. And the change in the locker room between the Super Bowl and 2 years later when they couldn't get out of their own way was, what in the world happened to this place? I don't see that with this guy. I think that the culture and the system and everything I see in place with Arthur Smith is, it's a more Belichick-like, that's for sure. You know, he's not the most, media-friendly guy, but I don't care. I don't care that he isn't. Charles and Max, hang on. It is one thing about this show, quick breaks and long phone calls, long time for us to talk. So quick break and back to you as we continue with John Fricke on Sports Radio 90 Time the Game.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
ARC Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for teen.
Don't let the holidays derail your fitness. Stay on track with Hydro. 20 minutes rowing on a Hydro targets 86% of your muscles as Olympians guide you from incredible locations worldwide. Running can't compete. That's why 90% stick with Hydro a year later. GQ named the Hydro Arc the best rower of 2025. And every Hydro comes with free shipping, a 30-day trial, and warranty. Go to Hydro.com code FIT and save up to $600 on your next Hydro. Hydro.com code FIT.
John Fricke for John Chuckery. Chuck will be back on Monday on Sports Radio 92 on the game from the Northern Kia Studios with you. We're talking Falcons. We're talking Braves. Braves win. The Braves get two hits and win a game. You can't stop these guys. I mean, they'll get 14 home runs and 37 runs scored. And then they had 19 hits the other night, right? They had 19 hits the other night. They had won the game. They had two tonight, and they won the game. They won. They allowed the opponent one run the other night. They allowed the opponent one run tonight, and Sean Murphy's two-run home run was all they needed. And credit to Raisel Iglesias, who slammed the door shut in the ninth. That was one of the few high-leverage situations that that the Braves have had, considering being on the road, considering against Tampa, considering that the eyes of the nation is a national TV game on Apple and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, good win for the Braves. Struck out 13 times, had only two hits, and still won the game. So we're asking you about the Falcons and what the most important thing is, in your opinion, as to why the Falcons will win the NFC South this year. What do they have to do? What's going to lead the way? Running game, defense, schedule, division, coaching. We've had people talk about the depth of the roster and improvement in the roster. All these things here. What has to lead the way for the Atlanta Falcons to win the division? And we can now bring the Braves into this because I'm having more fun watching this team. How about that win tonight by getting – they beat you. They got Charlie Morton in the bullpen, held Tampa Bay to one run at home in a key game for a Tampa team that had been reeling and lost five in a row, now lost six in a row, that locks in the fact the Braves will have the best record in baseball going to the All-Star break. Let's go to Charles. He's on with John. Hey, Charles, welcome to the show.
What is Cam Newton doing now? Would you be interested in letting him be a backup for the Falcons?
No, I would not. I would have no interest in that.
You don't think he?
Well, there's a reason he's not in the league. I mean,
what's the reason?
Well, he's old and kind of beat up, and
Well, he's still in his 30s, right?
Yeah, but and he's that's late for a football player. Yeah, okay. There are a lot of Atlanta boys that are playing quarterback in the NFL, including the one, Danilo Charles, the backup quarterback of the Atlanta Falcons, is an Atlanta boy.
Who?
Taylor Heinicke.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, went to Collins Hill High. Yeah, went to Collins
Hill. I thought Cam had a little bit left in him. I was just asking.
Nah.
Charles,
the blows that he took to the head, they go to the Super Bowl, right, against Denver, and then the next year, at the Super Bowl, they played the opening game. The NFL said, let's have a rematch. And so they had a rematch of the Super Bowl in the opening game. For Carolina, the vibe may be electric, in Denver,
the Braves fans are the ones doing the cheering right now.
Where we all said, Sean Murphy direct shots to the head,
goes yard, and Atlanta takes a 2-1 lead.
But he took two major shots, and it was like from that point on, he wasn't quite the same guy. I think when it comes to CTE, I think we all kind of point to that and think, Charles, that maybe he had, you know. Those blows mount up when you're a quarterback, even a big, strong guy like him. Because Lord knows, Charles, I talk about this sometimes. I say, what are the best performances, as a college football is my favorite sport. What are the best performances I've ever seen? And I can list like five. Anthony Davis against Notre Dame. One of the five is Cam Newton against Alabama in that Iron Bowl. He single-handedly beat Alabama. And every Alabama fan will tell you he did, because he did. He was so great in that game. Great quarterback, but no, his days are done.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you, Charles. 404-726-0929. We have an Atlanta quarterback. Wonder if we've ever had, an Atlanta quarterback. Have we? I don't know. Is Heinicke the first?
I feel like he's not. You mean a quarterback that was on the roster?
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Was there somebody else that was here but kind of down the line? Anybody out there knows, you know what? You could call the show. That would help. Let's go to Max. He's on with John. Braves win 2-1 over the Tampa Bay Rays. Another statement win because they won by getting only two hits and had their bullpen shut the door on the road against the best team in the American League. How about that? Hey, Max.
Hey, John. How's it going? I just had a small Braves concern. I wanted to see if you had a similar concern. Other than Charlie, who's obviously been really good the past four or five starts, if Fried and Wright don't come back the same as they were last year, I was wondering if you had any concerns about, as we know, playoffs, rarely you're winning games 16-4. So I was wondering how you thought about this pitching staff when it came to playoff time, if they had enough. I might just be, a little bit worried since that faulty game against the Cardinals, but I just wonder what you thought about that.
Well, let me ask you this, Max. Let me give you a little update, and then let me ask you a question. Max Fried is going to pitch on Sunday at Gwinnett. How about that?
Yeah, it's definitely exciting, and hopefully he'll be. Yeah. I have very little doubt that he'll be back to. I mean, he's such an elite athlete. I have very little doubt he'll be back to his best. But just in case, how the playoffs are. It's mostly about pitching, I feel like.
All right. Well, let me amend that. I want to make sure I get that right. He may not be pitching Sunday. He's going to be with Gwinnett on Sunday. I don't know that I can say that he's pitching on Sunday, but he's with the Stripers as of Sunday, I think. So he's back, and so he's going straight to AAA. The plan will be, I'm sure, to get him three starts down there and get a look-see here. So we're looking at about, we could maybe ramp this up a little bit. If you go three starts and you got the All-Star break in 15, 16, somewhere around the 22nd, 23rd, that would put him into the potential of starting a game for the Atlanta Braves somewhere around the 24th or 25th of July. So, we are, potentially less than 3 weeks away from seeing Max Fried, and that would give you the problem with that is, of course, to your point here, Max, is that even if you get Fried back, you may not have enough starts. You may only get two before you have the trade deadline, because the trade deadline is August 1st. You will get a couple more starts of Soroka in that time to see if he's capable of. I think at this point we're all saying, okay, Michael Soroka, he's got to show us. He started to show us a little bit, but he's got to show us in the next couple of starts, because I think if there is a desire on the part of Alex Anthopoulos to make a move for a starter pre the trade deadline here. He'll make the move, Max. No question of that. I would love to see him make a run at Josh Hader if the Padres are going to sell Josh Hader. I'd rent him. You're darn right I would. But if Alex thinks that if Kranitz and Snicker and Alex think they need a starter, the one thing I have full confidence in, Max, is that they'll go get one.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, that also kind of answers my follow-up question. I wanted to kind of ask about Iglesias and kind of I know he did well tonight, but he does make me a little nervous sometimes. But I guess Will Smith and Kenley did too the last couple of years. So I guess if we got Hader, he would kind of fill in that.
Yeah, well, I mean, the best left-handed reliever in the game, sure.
I guess if we didn't get him, I'm asking if you like what your thoughts are on Iglesias, you know, as the full-time closer going into the playoffs, and
I think you're riding that horse. At this point, you're riding the horse. I mean, you got Yates and Iglesias and Minter, and they're just going to have to perform. That's going to be your guys. All right, ride that horse. And we know how Snicker is, you and I. Even if they're not performing, Snicker will say, it's just baseball. They'll come around. But it's hard to argue with a team. It's kind of hard to argue with a team that's 26-4 in their last 30 games. Max, they're 26-4.
I know. It's almost too good to be true. I don't know, maybe it's just my being an Atlanta sports fan for 25 years. It's just making me nervous for some reason.
Yeah, welcome to it.
Thank you, Max. That was my only question about the pitching in the playoffs. Okay. That we had the full experience and stuff. So.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not counting on Kobe Allard, but maybe he surprises me.
Yeah.
I think Charlie's proving he's got something left in the tank. That's a good thing to have.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, if Soroka continues on a good path, I guess that'd be a huge bonus as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So and if you can get Max Fried back and again he's apparently he's ahead of schedule because he's reporting to Gwinnett for duty here. So I expect we're going to see him in the not too distant future pre the trade deadline. So if you get Max Fried back, and again it's sort of like anything else, Max Fried did not forget how to pitch.
Yeah, that's true. I may have missed this. Is there a timeline on Wright? Do we know when he's possibly coming back?
No, his originally they said late August. I'm not counting on Kyle Wright. Tyler Matzik obviously is out with Tommy John for the remainder of the year. Ian Anderson's had surgery. Wright, I at this point, I'm not counting on Kyle Wright to be part of the team this year. If he should show up in September, okay, with the expanded roster, sure. I mean, but to me that would be just kind of like bonus
throw him
stuff.
Throw him in the bullpen, I guess, if you needed to. Maybe as one of those kind of middle inning
long relievers. Right. Yeah. Right. He'd also have to make and if they're so far in front in September too, it's not going to hurt them to throw Kyle Wright and Kobe Allard and some of those guys and give them a bunch of starts, down the stretch just to get them work and get them lathered up for the playoffs. I don't think it's really a depth concern. It's just a quality concern. And so I understand your point. But I'm pretty confident. I mean, we do have two starters in the All-Star game. They're both pitching.
Yeah.
I guess that's it's not like we're devoid of talent.
Yeah, I guess I forgot about Strider, yeah.
yeah, kind of. I mean, they might finish 1-2 of the Cy Young voting. I'm just saying. Okay.
Yeah,
we might be okay.
Problem. Not a bad problem. All right, yeah, that was my other question. I appreciate it. Love the show.
Thanks, Max. But we want perfection, don't we? But why not? I mean, we want to shoot for it. These dudes are 20, and they're not just 26-4. They're 26-4 on the road, at home, blow you out, beat you in a close game, and they're beating the best teams around. And they're putting teams, they took the Mets and kicked them to the curb. I mean, they just about destroyed the franchise, for crying out loud. And they took the Phillies and just, now the Phillies are, they're hot again. If you notice the Phillies, they get really hot, really cold, really hot, really cold. They were really hot going into it. Now all of a sudden they're hot again. Okay, that didn't matter. The Braves are so far ahead of them that they can't make up any ground, and the Braves just don't lose. It's like, those guys, they just don't lose. DB, stay with me. I want to talk to you. Falcons, Braves, two questions. Number one, Falcons, what's going to lead the way for them to win an NFC South title? Braves, hey, what's your confidence level now that they just did that to Tampa? Huh? How about that? We won a game where they only had two hits on the road against the best team in the American League. It's John Fricke on Sports Radio 92 on the game.
It's bringing so much culture to the Rays organization. Keep coming to the truck.
The vibe may be electric, but a lot of the Braves fans are the ones doing the cheering right now. Sean Murphy goes yard, and Atlanta takes a 2-1 lead.
That was Apple TV, so they're doing a, you know, a Rays puff piece there. Oh, there's our, uh-oh. Yeah, you lose. How about those Atlanta Braves? Welcome back to the Northern Kia Studios with John Fricke on a Friday night on Sports Radio 92 on the game. The Braves, who got 19 hits and held the opponent to a one run in a win the other night, get two hits and hold the opponents to one run and get a win tonight as they go down to Tampa, beat Tampa 2-1 in the opening game of a three-game set, guarantee them the best record in baseball going to Seattle, and now seek to win an 11th straight series, go to 26-4 in their last 30 games. Sean Murphy's two-run home run. Charlie Morton with a really solid outing. The pen did its job, but Raisel Iglesias slammed the door shut in the ninth inning, and the Braves beat the Tampa Bay Rays in the opening game of a set and further cement the fact that they are the best team in baseball and that they can beat you anyway. Braves struck out 13 times tonight. Only Marcell Ozuna and Sean Murphy had hits in the game, and nobody else did. There was not a hit from Riley, not a hit from Olson, not a hit from Ozzie, not a hit from Acuna. Rosario? Nope. Michael Harris? Nope. No, that's it. Two hits. And they still won the game. We're talking about that. We're also talking about the Falcons and the question that I've had for you all evening here on John Chuckery's show about what is the leading thing that will take the Falcons to the NFC South title. Is it the easy schedule? Is it the great running game? Is it the improvement on defense, the depth of the team and overall roster? Is it the coaching and the system and culture that Arthur Smith has put in place here? What's going to be the thing that they really lean on if they are going to, in fact, win the NFC South this year? Let's go to the waitfor.com hotline, and DB joins us. Hey, DB.
Hey, John. How you doing, man?
Good, man.
I just want to start off saying, man, you know, I've actually loved what Arthur Smith has brought, you know, to this team, what him and Fontenot have done in the last couple years. You know, I think the total key to winning the NFC South this year is just to play that game. You know, continue to pound the rock. You know, I feel like Arthur Smith will open the playbook a little bit more this year. We'll see a little bit more different designs and, you know, formations. I don't expect to see the same type of precautions put on Ritter that we've seen with Mariota. So, you know, just play their game and trust in Ritter to make the throws that he needs to make. I was high on Ritter coming out of college, actually. That whole season, he was one of the highest quarterbacks coming into the draft until they played Alabama in the college football playoff. And his stock kind of went down after that game. But I was still high on Ritter. He's cerebral to the game. He's a student of the game. So I like his leadership. I'm excited what they're doing on defense. And John, maybe you can chime in on this, but on paper, I mean, I feel like this is one of the best defense we've had or we've seen in a long time, you know.
Potentially on paper and all that kind of stuff, but they've got to show me on the field. To Ritter,
yeah,
I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying, DB, about his stock, but let's not forget he was the second quarterback taken in the draft. It wasn't like he was the fifth. He was the second quarterback taken overall. And so I've always been kind of high on him too. I was really kind of screaming that I think they should have gone to him after the rain game in Charlotte last year. They should have gone to him sooner than they did. I think they wonder now in hindsight whether they should have, in fact, done that. But it is what it is. And so we've got a guy going in here who doesn't have a whole lot of, you know, experience, only four games as a starter. But he does have a year under his belt, and I'm pretty confident in the backup. I think the backup got a lot of experience as a starter in the NFL. He gave us fits when he was quarterback in Washington. And so I think from a quarterback room standpoint, we are vastly improved over where we were last year. Then having said that, I mean, it's somewhat untested and unproven, But I think you can lean on that running game. There's no reason to believe that that running game didn't get even better. And the running game, as it was one of the best, if not the maybe the second best running game in the entire NFL last year.
Absolutely. And that's why I like the signing of bringing back Caleb McGarry, you know, to solidify that right side. I feel like him and Lidstrom are, you know, a good tandem on that right side. You know, I feel like they're definitely going to be a top rushing team in the league. And Desmond Ridder is the X factor. You know, I predict they'll have a higher offensive output this year, definitely. Excited to see what Nielsen can do with the defense. But I feel like the NFC South is ours for the taking. We just have to play with the urgency and know that, hey, we're here to take this division and we're here to make the playoffs. You know, the Saints, we really don't know what Carr's going to do. You know, their roster top to bottom is still good. But, you know, Tampa Bay with Baker Mayfield, how much can you trust that? You know, the Panthers with a rookie quarterback. You know what I'm saying? I feel like it's ours for the taking this year. But as you know, in the NFC South, it's always up and down. There's a new leader in the division almost every year. So, but, you know, I feel like they just got to play their game, man, and continue to pound the rock.
Yep, I say you're going to go with the great running game, and I appreciate it, DB, as the leader. And I think that that's a fair thing to say. I went with the improvement on defense. I don't need the defense to be number one. I don't even need it to be top 10. If it just gets to 15, because I have full faith that that running game is going to work. And unlike last year, when the noodle arm quitter, you know, they would suck the safeties up, right, to try to get, you know, and even with, you know, all those guys starting to crowd the box, they still ran the football. That's how good they were at running it, and there was absolutely no respect for the passing game of the Atlanta Falcons with the noodle arm quitter, and there shouldn't have been because he missed on so many touchdown passes. This year, you pull those safeties up in the box to try and stop Tyler Allgeier and Bijan Robinson, and the Falcons run the ball. The second you do, all they have to do is up a little play action, and I don't think Ridder's going to be missing Kyle Pitts like the noodle arm quitter did. And he hits him down the seam, and Kyle's going to race 60 yards to an end zone. And put the safeties back. Now you're running the ball. You get it coming and going and coming and going. They don't know how you're going to hit him. At least that's what I'm hoping for. Owen is with us. Hey, Owen. How you doing?
Hey, John. How you doing, man? I've been listening to you for a long time. I'm a teacher. And I in the morning when you would come on, I was sitting and listening to your old partner who went to Philadelphia to play for the Eagles. Thanks for having me on, man. I like the Hawks, the Braves, and the Falcons. You start off saying with the Braves. With the Braves, I'm a diehard Braves fan. I just hope to the point that we get to this year, we leave no doubt. We need to go out and get whatever it is at trade deadline that we need. We need another relief. Iglesias, he scares me. He scares me for one. And if we need pitching always beats good hitting. But that is what we need when we go to the playoffs. I think that's what's going to keep us. If we don't get it, that's what's going to keep us from winning the championship this year in baseball.
You know, Owen, I appreciate you calling in. If you want to shout out where you teach, you can. You don't have to, but you can.
But I teach at Tuskegee Airmen. But like I was saying with you,
okay. I'm glad you did.
Yeah,
let me ask you a question, Owen.
Me and you can sit down somewhere and we can talk and I'll buy you a couple of beers or whatever you want to drink.
I appreciate that, Owen. You know, here's kind of the untold thing. This is why I think to a great degree, the success of this team it can be attributed to Brian Snicker and the coaching staff. I mean, Ron Washington has all four of his infielders at the All-Star game, for crying out loud, and Chipper Jones and Kevin Seitzer have done wonders with this lineup. They're setting all kinds of offensive records, and Rick Kranitz has a pitching staff that he lost, a 21-game winner. He lost his ace of the pitching staff. They lost their closer from last year, and yet they've had to put up rookies up there to start games, and yet through all of this, you know, Bryce Elder wasn't even supposed to even maybe make the staff, and he's going to the All-Star game. Through all of this, the Braves rank like second in the National League in ERA, second in strikeouts, and there are all sorts of metrics where they're top three in the National League in pitching. Everybody knows that the top one or two in hitting all across the board, they're in the top two or three in pitching, which says a lot. I mean, they're not winning games 16-11. They're winning games 16-4, 9-1, 8-1. That's why they can win a game like they did tonight, where they get two hits and two runs. They still win because they pitched so well tonight. So their pitching is better than I think some people realize, even maybe Owen, maybe even you and I. But I agree with you that I would like to see a big pickup at the All-Star break. If they think that the starters, Owen, are okay, I've said it before and I'll say it again, the guy that I would like to target is Josh Hader. Now, Josh Hader would probably be could only be a rental, all right? He might only be a rental. But then again, so what if he is? I mean, I'll take a rental because it's about trying to win right now, and if I only have him from now until the end of the year, whenever that ends, and I lose him in the free agency, okay. I mean, I just want to win now, Owen, because this is a question I have.
Right.
Owen, we can't let this opportunity go. We have to
win.
No,
we can't. That's the problem. That's like, you know, how the Yankees used to, when they used to win, they used to be fully equipped when they went to the season, when in the playoffs. And that's what we need to do. We don't need to take this for granted. And as far as I wanted to get to the Falcons really quickly, as far as the Falcons are done, I don't think we need to be worried about what all our opponents are doing in the South. I think it's out there for us to get this year. We've done a good job getting who we need in here to win. We got an identity on the offensive side of the ball, running the football. The only thing that I think we need to do is really need to – what's going to really tell the story with us with the Falcons is can Ritter make those conversions on third downs when he needs to. In our defense, we need to see what we got on defense. And I think those are the two things that's standing in our way from getting a win in the South this year. That's what I think.
Thank you.
I'll be at those home games.
I appreciate it. Let's make Mercedes-Benz Stadium a tough place to play, like the Georgia Dome was. Thank you, Owen, and I do appreciate what you do for a living, and I appreciate the fact that you called in here. You know, one of the things that impressed me about Desmond Ridder in the four-game sample that we had last year was his ability on third and fourth down. I mean, he was able to convert. He made a lot of clutch throws on third and fourth down, and that was a very encouraging sign to me. They didn't really stretch him much. He didn't take many shots down the field. He took a few, but you know, as I don't think, look, he got better game over game over game over game last year. I don't know that you're going to get him getting better game over game over game, but I think what you might see is him getting better kind of block over block. Like, he will be better in the second four games than he was in the first four. He'll be better in the third four games than he was in the second or the first. And by the end of the year, I think that if his trajectory is what I think it's going to be, I'm not saying he's going to be a top 10 quarterback in the league, but he's going to be somewhere in the middle. For a guy that's played just over a year, yeah, I think you'll look at him and go, you know what, this guy's pretty good. And I think that's where we're going to be headed with this. This guy's pretty good. Well, I'm not asking him to go into Canton this year. I'm asking him to be a distributor, to manage the flow of the game, to be a leader, and by all accounts, that's what he is. He is not some kind of shy guy. He is a take-charge kind of guy. I mean, the dude did win 44 games in college. He took his team to a Peach Bowl against Georgia and stood toe-to-toe with that Georgia defense. He took his team, first ever non-FBS team to ever go to a, excuse me, not Power 5 team, ever to go to a college football playoff. You know, so we might have a little bit, some fans around here might have more respect for Desmond Ridder had he played, say, at Tennessee instead of Cincinnati and done what he had. If he had taken Tennessee to those, would you say, oh, you know what, Duke could play? Well, yeah, because he was, you know, Cincinnati had a guy named Sauce Gardner. He was pretty good, too. Just saying. Luke Fickell did a pretty good job. That's why I think he's going to do really good at Wisconsin. I think he's a good coach. The only thing in Wisconsin about Luke Fickell doing well there is, you know, Ohio State fans are looking at that going, oh, maybe we should, Luke, you want to come back? Because you know how they feel about Ryan Day, which is probably unfair, but some of them do. Top of the hour, final hour on a Friday night. You have a chance to jump into the program at 404-726-0929. Let's talk about that 2-1 Braves win over the Tampa Bay Rays. How about this team? And what is the number one thing that will lead the NFL, the Falcons to the NFC South title? With John Fricke on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival Raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Don't let the holidays derail your fitness. Stay on track with Hydro. 20 minutes rowing on a Hydro targets 86% of your muscles as Olympians guide you from incredible locations worldwide. Running can't compete. That's why 90% stick with Hydro a year later. GQ named the Hydro Arc the best rower of 2025. And every Hydro comes with free shipping, a 30-day trial, and warranty. Go to Hydro.com code FIT and save up to $600 on your next Hydro. Hydro.com code FIT.
It's bringing so much culture to the Rays organization. Keep coming to the truck.
The vibe may be electric, but a lot of the Braves fans are the ones doing the cheering right now. Sean Murphy goes yard, and Atlanta takes a 2-1 lead.
That was Apple TV, so they're doing a Rays puff piece there. Oh, there's our... Uh-oh. Yeah, you lose. How about those Atlanta Braves? Welcome back to the Northern Kia Studios with John Fricke on a Friday night on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The Braves, who got 19 hits and held the opponent to a one run in a win the other night, get 2 hits and hold the opponents to 1 run and get a win tonight as they go down to Tampa, beat Tampa 2-1 in the opening game of a 3-game set, guarantee them the best record in baseball going to Seattle, and now seek to win an 11th straight series, go to 26-4 in their last 30 games. Sean Murphy's 2-run home run. Charlie Morton with a really solid outing. The pen did its job, and Raisel Iglesias slammed the door shut in the ninth inning, and the Braves beat the Tampa Bay Rays in the opening game of a set and further cement the fact that they are the best team in baseball and that they can beat you anyway. Braves struck out 13 times tonight. Only Marcell Ozuna and Sean Murphy had hits in the game, And nobody else did. There was not a hit from Riley, not a hit from Olsen, not a hit from Ozzie, not a hit from Acuna, Rosario, nope. Michael Harris, nope. No, that's it. Two hits. And they still won the game. We're talking about that. We're also talking about the Falcons and the question that I've had for you all evening here on John Chuckery Show about what is the leading thing that will take the Falcons to the NFC South title. Is it the easy schedule? Is it the great running game? Is it the improvement on defense, the depth of the team and overall roster? Is it the coaching and the system and culture that Arthur Smith has put in place here? What's going to be the thing that they really lean on if they are going to, in fact, win the NFC South this year? Let's go to the waitford.com hotline, and DB joins us. Hey, DB.
Hey, John. How you doing, man?
Good, man.
I just want to start off saying, man, I've actually loved what Arthur Smith has brought, to this team, what him and Fontenot have done in the last couple years. I think the total key to winning the NFC South this year is, just to play that game, continue to pound the rock. I feel like Arthur Smith will open the playbook a little bit more this year. We'll see a little bit more different designs and, formations. I don't expect to see the same type of precautions put on Ritter that we've seen with Mariota. Just play their game and trust in Ritter to make the throws that he needs to make. I was high on Ritter coming out of college, actually. That whole season, he was the one of the highest quarterbacks coming into the draft until they played Alabama in the college football playoff. And his stock kind of went down after that game. But I was still high on Ritter. He's cerebral to the game. He's a student of the game. So I like his leadership. I'm excited what they're doing on defense. And John, maybe you can chime in on this. But on paper, I feel like this is one of the best defense we've had or we've seen in a long time.
Potentially on paper and all that kind of stuff, but they've got to show me on the field. To Ritter,
yeah, they definitely.
I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying, DB, about his stock, but let's not forget he was the second quarterback taken in the draft. It wasn't like he was the fifth; he was the second quarterback taken overall. And so I've always been kind of high on him too. I was really kind of screaming that I think they should have gone to him after the rain game in Charlotte last year. They should have gone to him sooner than they did. I think they wonder now in hindsight whether they should have, in fact, done that. But it is what it is. And so we've got a guy going in here who doesn't have a whole lot of, experience, only four games as a starter. But he does have a year under his belt, and I'm pretty confident in the backup. I think the backup got a lot of experience as a starter in the NFL. He gave us fits when he was quarterback of Washington. And so I think from a quarterback room standpoint, we are vastly improved over where we were last year. Then having said that, it's somewhat untested and unproven. But I think you can lean on that running game. There's no reason to believe that running game didn't get even better. And the running game as it was one of the best, if not maybe the second best running game in the entire NFL last year.
Absolutely. And that's why I like the signing of bringing back Caleb McGarry, to solidify that right side. I feel like him and Lidstrom are, a good tandem on that right side. I feel like they're definitely going to be a top rushing team in the league. And Desmond Ritter is the X factor. I predict they'll have a higher offensive output this year, definitely. Excited to see what Nielsen can do with the defense. But I feel like the NFC South is ours for the taking. We just have to play with the urgency and know that, hey, we're here to take this division and we're here to make the playoffs. The Saints, we really don't know what Carr's going to do. Their roster top to bottom is still good. But, Tampa Bay with Baker Mayfield, how much can you trust that? The Panthers with a rookie quarterback. I feel like it's ours for the taking this year. But as you know, in the NFC South, it's always up and down. There's a new leader in the division almost every year. I feel like they just got to play their game, man, and continue to pound the rock.
Yep, I say you're going to go with the great running game, and I appreciated DB as the leader. And I think that that's a fair thing to say. I went with the improvement on defense. I don't need the defense to be number one. I don't even need it to be top 10. If it just gets to 15, because I have full faith that that running game is going to work. And unlike last year when the noodle arm quitter, you know, they would suck the safeties up, right, to try to get, you know, and even with, you know, all those guys starting to crowd the box, they still ran the football. That's how good they were at running it, and there was absolutely no respect for the passing game of the Atlanta Falcons with the noodle arm quitter, and there shouldn't have been because he missed on so many touchdown passes. This year, you pull those safeties up in the box to try and stop Tyler Allgeier and Bijan Robinson, and the Falcons run the ball. The second you do, all they have to do is up a little play action, and I don't think Ritter's going to be missing Kyle Pitts like the noodle arm quitter did. And he hits him down the seam, and Kyle's going to race 60 yards to an end zone. And okay, put the safeties back. Now you're running the ball. You get it coming and going and coming and going. They don't know how you're going to hit him. At least that's what I'm hoping for. Owen is with us. Hey, Owen. How you doing?
Hey, John. How you doing, man? I've been listening to you for a long time. I'm a teacher. And I in the morning when you would come on, I was sitting listening to your old partner who went to Philadelphia to play for the Eagles. Thanks for having me on, man. I like the Hawks, the Braves, and the Falcons. You start off saying with the Braves. With the Braves, I'm a diehard Braves fan. I just hope to the point that we get to this year, we leave no doubt. We need to go out and get whatever it is at trade deadline that we need. We need another relief. Iglesias, he scares me. He scares me for one. And if we need pitching always beats good hitting. But that is what we need when we go to the playoffs. I think that's what's going to keep us. If we don't get it, that's what's going to keep us from winning the championship this year in baseball.
You know, Owen, I appreciate you calling in. If you want to shout out where you teach, you can. You don't have to, but you can.
But I teach at Tuskegee Airmen. But like I was saying with you, I'm glad you did.
Let me ask you a question, Owen.
Me and you can sit down somewhere and we can talk and have. I buy you a couple of beers or whatever you want to drink.
I appreciate that, Owen. You know, here's kind of the untold thing. This is why I think to a great degree, the success of this team it can be attributed to Brian Snicker and the coaching staff. I mean, Ron Washington has all four of his infielders at the All-Star game, for crying out loud. And Chipper Jones and Kevin Seitzer have done wonders with this lineup. They're setting all kinds of offensive records. And Rick Kranitz has a pitching staff that he lost, a 21-game winner. He lost his ace of the pitching staff. They lost their closer from last year. And yet they've had to put up rookies up there to start games. And yet through all of this, you know, Bryce Elder wasn't even supposed to even maybe make the staff, and he's going to the All-Star game. Through all of this, the Braves rank like second in the National League in ERA, second in strikeouts, and there are all sorts of metrics where they're top three in the National League in pitching. Everybody knows that they're top one or two in hitting all across the board. They're in the top two or three in pitching, which says a lot. I mean, they're not winning games 16-11. They're winning games 16-4. 9-1, 8-1. That's why they can win a game like they did tonight, where they get two hits and two runs. They still win because they pitched so well tonight. So their pitching is better than I think some people realize, even maybe Owen, maybe even you and I. But I agree with you that I would like to see a big pickup at the All-Star break. If they think that the starters, Owen, are okay, I've said it before and I'll say it again, the guy that I would like to target is Josh Hader. Now, Josh Hader would probably be a rental, all right? He might only be a rental. But then again, so what if he is? I mean, I'll take a rental because it's about trying to win right now, and if I only have him from now until the end of the year, whenever that ends, and I lose him in the free agency, okay. I mean, I want to win now, Owen, because this is a question I have.
Right.
Owen, we can't let this opportunity go. We have to win.
No, we can't. That's the problem. That's like, you know, how the Yankees used to, when they used to win, they used to be fully equipped when they went to the season in the playoffs. And that's what we need to do. We don't need to take this for granted. And as far as I wanted to get to the Falcons really quickly, as far as the Falcons are doing, I don't think we need to be worried about what all opponents are doing in the South. I think it's out there for us to get this year. We've done a good job getting who we need in here to win. We got an identity on the offensive side of the ball, running the football. The only thing that I think we need to do is Ritter needs to – is what's going to really tell the story with us with the passes is can Ritter make those conversions on third downs when he needs to. In our defense, we need to see what we got on defense. And I think those are the two things that's standing in our way from getting a win in the South this year. That's what I think.
Thank you.
I'll be at every one of those home games.
I appreciate it. Let's make Mercedes-Benz Stadium a tough place to play, like the Georgia Dome was. Thank you, Owen, and I do appreciate what you do for a living, and I appreciate the fact that you called in here. You know, one of the things that impressed me about Desmond Ritter in the four game sample that we had last year was his ability on third and fourth down. I mean, he was able to convert. He made a lot of clutch throws on third and fourth down, and that was a very encouraging sign to me. They didn't really stretch him much. He didn't take many shots down the field. He took a few, but he got better game over game over game over game last year. I don't know that you're going to get him getting better game over game over game, but I think what you might see is him getting better kind of block over block. Like, he will be better in the second four games than he was in the first four. He'll be better in the third four games than he was in the second or the first. And by the end of the year, I think that if his trajectory is what I think it's going to be, I'm not saying he's going to be a top 10 quarterback in the league, but he's going to be somewhere in the middle. For a guy that's played just over a year, yeah, I think you'll look at him and go, you know what, this guy's pretty good. And I think that's where we're going to be headed with this. This guy's pretty good. Well, I'm not asking him to go into Canton this year. I'm asking him to be a distributor, to manage the flow of the game, to be a leader, and by all accounts, that's what he is. He is not some kind of shy guy. He is a take-charge kind of guy. I mean, the dude did win 44 games in college. He took his team to a Peach Bowl against Georgia and stood toe-to-toe with that Georgia defense. He took his team, first-ever non-FBS team to ever go to a, excuse me, not Power 5 team, ever to go to a college football playoff. We might have a little bit, some fans around here might have more respect for Desmond Ritter had he played, say, at Tennessee instead of Cincinnati and done what he had. If he had taken Tennessee would you say, oh, you know what, Duke could play? Well, yeah, because Cincinnati had a guy named Sauce Gardner. He was pretty good, too. Just saying. Luke Fickell did a pretty good job. That's why I think he's going to do really good at Wisconsin. I think he's a good coach. The only thing in Wisconsin about Luke Fickell doing well there is, you know, Ohio State fans are looking at that going, oh, maybe we should, Luke, you want to come back? Because you know how they feel about Ryan Day, which is probably unfair, but some of them do. Top of the hour, final hour on a Friday night. You have a chance to jump into the program at 404-726-0929. Let's talk about that 2-1 Braves win over the Tampa Bay Rays. How about this team? And what is the number one thing that will lead the NFL, the Falcons to the NFC South title? With John Fricke on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Whoa, boss, how did that happen?
Mind your business.
I mean, how did a forklift make a shish kebab out of our company truck?
I said, mind your business, Billy. It's why we have auto owners. We worked with an independent agent to customize our policies. So when the unexpected happens, we know we're covered. Because unlike you, minding our business is their business.
Oh, that's simple human sense.
Ask your independent agent if auto owners make sense for you.
You didn't do this, did you, boss?
Mind your business, Billy.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.